God wants each of His children to take time to slow down and listen to Him, to meditate on His character and His ways. Many Christians have neglected that discipline, believing that it's only necessary for pastors or spiritual leaders. But in reality, all of us need to hear God's gentle, guiding voice. Today on In Touch, Charles Stanley reminds us that when we're alone with the Lord and focused completely on Him, those are the moments that sustain us. Meditation is far more than presenting our needs in prayer. It involves time and self-discipline. And today, Dr. Stanley once again examines the life of David to reveal just some of the benefits of spending time alone with the Lord.
If I should ask you, what happens in your life when things don't go right, and when you're going through some troublesome time, what is it, what becomes the priority? And what is it in your life that you made your own? What grabs the most of your attention? What do you find yourself doing in order to cope with that situation, that circumstance? Well, in the life of David, here I believe is not just the secret, but here is God's plan. This is the way God's plan works in the life of people who are following Him. That is, He's given us a simple but profound plan to be able to be sustained in every single circumstance of life. And as we look at that passage, you'll notice he said that he was meditating on the greatness and the power and the majesty and the glory of God. Well, we hear a lot about meditation. We read about meditation, and all kinds of people are meditating these days on the wrong kind of thing. But biblical meditation is this. It is focusing our mind and our spirit on God, on His ways, on His will, on His works. It is focusing on His will, His ways, His works, on the person of God, focusing upon Himself, in order that you and I may know Him. We may yield to Him, surrender to Him, obey Him. That is, we don't focus with some sense of scattered purpose, but with a very definite purpose. So when somebody says, well, what is meditation? It is focusing the mind and the spirit on God in order to discover who He is, His ways and His will, in order to obey Him. That's what meditation's all about. Now, you look at the life of David, and usually we look at the Psalms and say what a glorious life he must have lived, but the truth is, he was a normal man, chosen by God to be king. And even when he was chosen and he was anointed as king, it was years he had to wait upon God until Saul died before he became the king. And so when you look at his life, it's a life of turmoil and trial and difficulty and hardship, and you think, well, why would God anoint him a king and then not let him be king for years and years and years? And why would he have to run and hide for these years and go over to the land of the Philistines, the very enemy of Israel? Why would God allow all these things? Well, because in the process of his turmoil, his trials and his tragedies and his triumphs, what was God doing? God taught David something out there as a shepherd that all of us so desperately need to learn. He taught him as a shepherd. And not only did he teach him as a shepherd, but he continued what he learned out there in the sheep field all through his life. It was the very thing that sustained him. David knew how to meditate upon God. And what you and I have in all these Psalms is we have the experience of David meditating upon the Lord. And so we have a treasure. When I look at all these Psalms and see what God has done here, here's a whole treasure for us, which is really the outgrowth and the expression of what he was feeling, his attitude about God, what God was saying to him when he went through difficulty and hardship and trial just like you go through. And so what we have not only is a treasure, but we have a pattern in David himself. Now, with that in mind, let's look at this 145th Psalm for a moment. He says, on the glorious splendor. Look, on the glorious splendor of thy majesty and on thy wonderful works, he says, I will meditate. Now, here's the important thing I want you to notice here. Usually when we're going through some challenge, some difficulty in life, and we're talking to the Lord, what becomes major in our thinking? What rises to the surface? What becomes major in our thinking? What is it? It's whatever's challenging us, the problem, the heartache, the burden, whatever it may be. Meditation is to be God-centered. Listen, If you'll notice all through, when he talks about God's precepts, God's works, God's ways, God's wonders, God's word, it is God who is the theme and the heart and the core and the subject of David's meditation. And so it is to be with ours. But the mistake we make oftentimes, a person will get down to pray and they say, well, that's my meditation. But I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But you see, the focus of our attention is to be upon God. Now, I think there's some things that are very essential here to meditation. I want you to jot these down. And we said there are four things primarily that encompass, and that's reading the Word of God and praying through that and over that. And as you think about those things, applying them to your own heart, whatever they may be, and then submitting to them. All that's a part of the meditation process. But that requires several things. And the first thing it requires is setting aside time. If you are not willing to set aside time for God, I'm here to tell you, listen, you'll go through life and miss the message of God. I think about this. Think about people who go through life. They get saved. They join a church. They get baptized. They go to church. They read the Bible once in a while and they pray. But they go through life and miss the continuous listening and talking and hearing God speak to their heart personally. They'd rather hear somebody on television. They'd rather hear somebody on radio. They'd rather hear somebody sing, somebody else preach. They'd rather hear somebody speak or teach rather than listening to God. It takes time to meditate upon the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got to set aside 2 or 3 hours every day to meditate upon God. That's why I titled this message, Moments. Listen, the moments that sustain us. Because even in the essence of reading and praying and God speaking to our heart, sometimes you can do that in 10 minutes. And there have been sometimes when I've hit some passages and when I came to the point of submission, I just want to get up and walk away. Because I thought, God, I know what you're saying, but right now, it was very difficult for me to deal with it. And so sometimes I just get up and walk away. Now, I knew I couldn't escape because sometimes when God has spoken to your heart, you know that you can't get away. There's no escape. He anchors you. He just anchors you to that passage. And meditation says, I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to keep yielding until finally I say, God, you win. And you see, when we have to say to him, he wins, that's not defeat, friend. That's a real victory. When he wins over our stubborn will, then we have gained the victory. And so it takes time. You've got to be willing to set aside time. The second thing it takes is stillness. Now, that's something a lot of folks just can't handle much of. They don't get too still. They got to keep moving. If I'm going to concentrate on a passage of Scripture and focus my mind and my attention and my spirit on that, then, my friend, I've got to get still. Stillness means I'm not going to do anything else. This is it. Not going to answer the phone, so take it off the hook. Not going to cut on the TV or the radio. You see, some people can't handle that. Stillness. The third thing it requires is silence. And that is being quiet. You say, well, didn't you say you pray over this passage? That's true. But you don't do all the talking. That you may read and just be quiet and just listen and let God do the speaking. You won't have to worry about trying to figure out how is God going to do it. He will do it. God knows exactly how to speak to your heart. But you must give him time. You must get still and you must be quiet. And so you read and you listen. And then you talk to him. And you listen again, and you talk, and you listen. Another word is seclusion. You need to get by yourself. Now listen, every husband and wife wants each other alone by themselves at times. Well, did you know that God wants us the same way? He wants us alone by ourselves, so it's just you and God. So listen, in the time that you've set aside, and the stillness of your heart, and the quietness of your spirit and your soul, and you begin to meditate upon the Word of God, something is going to begin to happen. And see, so you look at these words. You set aside time. You get still. You get quiet. You're all alone. Then I want to add one more word, because this is a requirement, and that's self-control. Because you are going to have to decide. You're not going to answer that phone. So the best thing to do is cut it off. Just take it off the hook. You say, well, suppose somebody calls. Let me ask you a question. Who's already called? Somebody's already called. And that's Almighty God. And I don't think any one of us would get up from a conversation with him to go answer the phone from somebody we don't know. Or even if we do know them. God's already called. Listen, that's what meditation's all about. I'm in a conversation. I'm in a relationship with Almighty God. So take the phone off the hook. And many people walk into their house, if it's an empty house or an apartment, and they cut on something. Got to have some sound. Man, give me some sound. Give me some noise. You know why? Because the noise of silence is absolutely earth-shaking to them. They can't stand the noise of silence. Listen, the silence is louder than the drum beat. So they got to have something going. They get in the car, they do the same thing. You walk in your house or your apartment or wherever you live, there's no sound, nothing going on. Why don't you just walk in and say, well, thank you, Father, that you and I have this time together. Just thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Just start praising God. You know what? It won't be alone, but about 10 seconds and it's all over. It's you and Him. Then the fellowship begins. You see, God made it simple, but we have a responsibility. And the responsibility is time. Now listen, I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message. I'm going to challenge you to make a definite decision that beginning today, no matter where you are and who you are, if you're a believer, because this won't, if you're not a Christian, this won't work. You can try it. But until you know Jesus is your Savior, it's going to be real confusing and frustrating. You're thinking, you see, how can you meditate upon a God you don't even believe in? You say, I believe in God. How can you meditate upon a God you can't have in a relationship with? You say, I talk to God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be talking up yonder somewhere, but He says, apart from me, you can't come to the Father. He's not just talking about salvation. In other words, if you don't know Him, you come to the Lord Jesus. But we're going to talk about that. What I want you to see here is this. It's a decision I make. It's a decision I make. I will give time to God. Now think about how absurd that is. God, who is the ruler of all things, the source of all of our life, and we have to find time for God. You don't find it, you make it. And so I want to challenge you. It is the most important, life-impacting, sustaining human action anybody can take in life about anything. When you get alone with God, listening and sharing and yielding and submitting, I'm here to tell you something will transform your life. Now, the next question, the last question is this, what can I expect to happen on the inside of me when I do this? What can I expect to happen? Here's the first thing that I can expect to happen. When I begin to meditate upon the Lord, and I get into meditation with Him, and I'm going through some difficulty and hardship, my spirit is going to get quiet. My spirit is going to quiet. Now, when I come to submission, my spirit may explode because my heart may be rebellious. But if I will keep meditating upon that passage, my spirit is going to get quiet. It's the first thing that happens. And you see people say, well, you know, I'm just nervous and I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other and I'm taking this and taking that and taking the other. Why don't you just take Him? I mean, He knows how to calm every fear and everything. There's something about the Word of God. He says, listen to this. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you, but let not your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious and upset and troubled about things. He says, my peace I give unto you. What happens? Meditation quietens our spirit. The second thing it does, when I think about meditation, the second thing it does is this. It purifies our heart. You can't get in the Word of God day after day without the Spirit of God surfacing things in your life that do not count, that do not matter, that do not belong there. And what happens is, little by little, the Spirit of God begins to cleanse your heart until your conscience is very clear and very clean, and your heart has become pure. The third thing you can expect to happen is this. You, without trying, will develop a hunger for God and for His Word and a desire for His Word that you never had in your life. It happens. It is the work of the Spirit. It's like when you get a taste of the Word of God and you get a good taste of it, you can't get enough of it. You want more of it. And the wonderful thing about it is this. You can have all you want all of your life, and you'll never get enough, and you'll never get all of it. It is the inexhaustible mind of God that we're dealing with. And so that there's going to be a deeper hunger for God. The next thing that's going to happen is, when you get into the Word, and you begin to pray through it, and God begins to speak, your view of God is going to get greater and greater and greater. You're going to begin to see him in ways that you've never seen him before. You're going to see the greatness and the power of God in ways you've never seen it, but you're also going to see the intimacy of God, his willingness to help you and to be concerned with you about little things in your life that you think, well, why would God be interested in that? Because you are. And so your view of God's going to get stronger. Naturally, what's going to happen is that your sense of discernment, your ability to discern truth and error, your ability to be able to discern what's going on around you, what's really taking place, not what appears to be taking place, but what's really taking place, you'll begin to be able to discern events, things, and how people are acting. In other words, you'll be able to discern things that you've never been able to discern before. There'll be a sharpness of your discernment. And what it is the Spirit of God, who's now got your focus on the Word of God and in the ways of God, something's going to begin to happen. The next thing that happens is this. You're going to begin to have a clear sense of direction for your life. Now, all of us get thrown into situations we don't know what to do. As we begin to meditate upon the Word of God and He begins to work in our life, what does He do? He just pulls back the shades. He just pulls back the drapes, back the curtains, and we begin to see things clearer than we've ever seen them before. And so we get a very clear sense of direction in an area maybe that was extremely confusing and frustrating. Likewise, counsel. Our counsel that we receive from others will either be confirmed or we'll get this big caution in our thinking. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like God. So meditation is a time of caution when it comes to counsel. Is this counsel of God or is it not of God? What happens again is there's a greater sense of confidence. You begin to walk in the middle of your circumstance with a greater sense of confidence because what? Now you think in the way God thinks. You begin to see things the way God sees them. Your conscience is clear. You don't have a sense of guilt. You're walking in the ways of God. He's made the pathway very clear. And so there's a greater sense of confidence, a sense of boldness about your relationship to Him and facing whatever circumstance there may be. Another thing that's going to happen is this. You're going to begin to sense on the inside the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that you've never experienced before. You say, well, I've heard people that read the Bible talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, but now I'm beginning to see what that means. There's a sense of strength that you cannot explain. You see, what it is? It's a supernatural enablement of the Holy Spirit who is, listen to this, who is now freed to release in you what you need because your focus is now upon God and your attention is upon Him and you're seeking Him in His direction, His will and His way. So what happens? The Spirit of God that was stymied, the Spirit of God that was quenched is now able and ready to release in you the strength and the energy and the power to do whatever you need to do. One other thing I'd mention is this. It's very evident when a person begins to meditate upon the Lord, they begin to develop a continuous awareness of the presence of God in their life. They never felt before. They never sensed that before. He was always there, but they never sensed it. But what's happening? Now, you begin to focus upon Him. Now His Word is part of your daily diet. Now your conversation with Him is the most important conversation of the day. Now, your desire to be obedient to Him and to submit to Him is the most important thing in life. So look what's happening. What you've begun to do in meditation is you've begun to focus upon, listen, you've begun to focus upon God. Now, it's not enough to memorize Scripture and read through the Bible. What you're focusing upon is the God of Scripture, the Christ Jesus. And as you and I begin to focus on Him and everything in our life gets sifted through Him, what happens? Something begins to happen in your life. I'm not saying to you that God is going to give you some enormous revelation every time you get in the Word. No, that's not true. But I can tell you this, friend. What you do get is so much gold and silver and precious jewels of the Spirit that you know what happens? The silent days, I don't even remember. But I remember all the wonderful, wonderful days, not the silent days. But we're talking about the moments that sustain us. Listen, the moments that sustain us are the moments that transform us. And these are the moments that make what you and I have to give others worthwhile. It isn't just our joys, but it's the accounts of our defeats and God's work in our heart in the midst of all of that. I challenge you, you cannot do anything in life that'll have the impact upon your life that this will have. David is the pattern, but you can do the same. Father, how we do love you and praise you that you've made it so simple for us to walk in your way. And we stumble and we fall and we falter, and yet you've still made it simple. Thank you for loving us enough that you don't leave us lying there. Thank you for loving us enough that when we stumble, you just pick us up and remind us of who we are in you and who you are in us, and that you love us unconditionally, that we're cleansed by your precious blood, and we are still marching toward the goal that you've set for us to be transformed into your likeness. And how would we pray today for people who've never trusted Jesus as their Savior? They don't understand what it means to be intimate with you, to have fellowship with him. They don't understand what it means to have a clear conscience and that sin forgiven, to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to have eternal security. They don't have to fear death nor life, but to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with you. How would we pray the Holy Spirit would just register in the heart of every single hearer, this is the way. Everyone can practice it. It begins with knowing Jesus as Savior. And there is no end, because it is the beginning of an eternal relationship, an eternal, satisfying, ever-growing contentment that is found in you. We love you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.